Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Bravo, macht Tempo, wartet auf Harte. Zwanke kommt und jetzt ist es Klos. Also Arminia Bielefeld.
Penny, 2-0. 2-0 für den FC St. Pauli.
Diese
Flanke, Tor, nächster Treffer.
Ist heuer Fernandes mit vorne. Ja klar ist er mit vorne. Kittel mit der Ecke, Feuerball und da!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast, your home and the only English-speaking media podcast discussing the crazy world of the Zweite Bundesliga. Today we'll be discussing all the action from a hectic, chaotic, exciting match day 23. We saw big results at both ends of the table, and once again we have a new leader at the head of the pack in the league. Alongside me, as ever, We're very excited to discuss the league again. Is Eva Lotte-Bohler. Eva, pleasure to be alongside you once again. How have you been?
Very, very difficult question to answer. I just can say that I've been never happier than this week to speak about the Zweite Bundesliga and forget about everything that's happening in the Bundesliga, both of our clubs included in that matter. Because it's less chaotic, at least everything that happens besides the pitch or those 90 minutes that are crucial. So I'm very happy to be here, and I feel good. Thank you.
I honestly don't know what you're talking about, to be honest, because I've forgotten anything that has happened on the weekend except what has happened in the Zweite Bundesliga. And we are going to start with the big game. It was the Hamburg derby. Expectations were massive. Two sides that had been on different ends of the form pendulum. Hamburg were top at the time. St. Pauli on the rise. And it was the boys in brown who took all 3 points. And the saying, Hamburg ist braun und weiß, is true once again. Daniel Kofi Gire's goal 2 minutes before the 90. Enough to see St. Pauli take all 3 points. They continue their majestic form and dethrone Hamburg from the top of the standings. We'll talk about who usurped them in just a bit. Eva, this game had everything. There were some really good passages of attacking football, plenty of chances, some potentially suspect goalkeeping, the return of the legendary referee DJ Dennis Aitken, and a bullet of a goal from Cure to give St. Pauli another victory.
Yeah, I thought especially in the first half, it was a very good game from both sides. HSV had the better start with those two Kittel free kicks, if I remember correctly. And after that, St. Pauli was coming into that game as well and kind of took charge after that, but it was still a good game from both sides with our goals, though. But in that second half, you had that penalty given to St. Pauli, and there were a lot of chat about this, at least in my Twitter bubble, whatever. And I have to admit, I was a bit skeptical in the beginning at first as well, but this is something we speak about every week. We don't really know what happens communication wise, and that's why I'm very glad that there is this Twitter page called Colinas Erben. I've mentioned them a couple of times. They're only in German, but they explained this, and I tried to translate what they said. So Aitken probably suggested that Jung only hit Salazar but not the ball, or that Salazar touched the ball first, and both of those are wrong if you look at the pictures. That's why it's definitely correct that the VAR said, listen, if you said this is what you saw, this is wrong. So, and that's why Aitken went out, looked at it, and then you can say, well, it probably looks like it's a block and like blocking the ball, and it's not an action that is toward it to the player, but toward it to the ball. It's still early, kind of. And that's why it's actually correct to take back that penalty. Otherwise, we kind of say that defenders can't really block shots in that penalty area anymore. So actually, good use of the VAR. Although, once again, it's a bit sad that we need Twitter pages like Linus Erben to explain that to us, except and not the actually page for the VAR decisions from the DFB. But yeah, so that's a correct decision. And I mean, St. Pauli managed to win in the end. Anyway, as you've mentioned, really good goal by Curie. And one player that for him, it wasn't like derbies is just not for him. That's probably Rick van Drongelen. He was subbed in, and unfortunately, as HSV said yesterday, he will be out injured for a long time again. And that's I think that's just very, very unlucky. He's such a young player, so that's his, you feel sorry for him. But yeah, I think for St. Pauli, YouTube win. I really like them in this game. It's their 7th win in 8 games. And if you would told me that around the winter break, I would say, not going to happen in that way. And as you've mentioned, very glad that Dennis Aitken is back. For me, he is one of the best referees we have in German football at the moment.
And to be fair, he refereed a pretty flawless game, except, you know, he eventually got the penalty decision overturned. But he also had to send a player off in the end, Tim Leipold. The correct decision for mine, I know there was some gamesmanship by the St. Pauli players trying to kill time as Hamburg were trying to get the ball in play, but what on earth what are you thinking? You're the captain of the team. You're the one that everyone looks around to lead. Leaders can't lose their cool the way that he did. And it's going to cost them more because they don't have a specialised left back in the first team squad after Leibold. And it's only the fact that they're going to be playing Borkum and Kiel. They also have Heidenheim then Hanover in the next 4. All vital games when you are trying to get promoted for a third time of asking. It's just mindless. It's amazing. And it could punish them. It really could. I mean, it's amazing. It truly is. But St. Pauli, for me anyway, were the better team, especially after 20 minutes. They really got it going. Marmoush was very active going forward. He had a number of good chances. Was probably a bit stiff to not get a goal himself. But I think in the end, you know, from what was a pretty good derby game, you know, St. Pauli were worthy winners in the end. So now we go to the team who has usurped Hamburg on top of the table. And it's unbelievable because we're probably still a bit surprised, although there is one colleague of ours who had VfL at the top of the Zweite Bundesliga table. And that's where Borkum are right now. 3-0 win over Würzburg. They were comprehensive in the way they dispatched the Kickers, who really didn't bring much to the table. And it was the usual suspects in Robert Jule, especially, who was back to his best. Würzburg didn't have an answer for him. And he opened the scoring on 19 minutes. He has 11 goals this campaign. Danny Blum on 62, getting his 4th. And then Gerrit Holtmann with a real sumptuous individual effort to dribble not only past a few Würzburg defenders, but also round the keeper and tap in for an easy goal. Eva, this one is actually not a difficult game to really talk about because Borkum were just dominant from start to finish and were rarely tested from a pretty limp Würzburg side.
Yeah, I would fully agree with you there. I have not a lot of notes for this game because the dominance was just there and you just can't say a lot about it. Just one topic that was talked about before the 1-0, not in the immediate build-up to that 1-0, but before that, thought Tesche should have been awarded a yellow card because that foul wasn't particularly nice, but wouldn't really make a difference maybe in that way. Yeah, Würzburg before that 1-0, it's a lot of unluck, I would say, but also good job by Bochum throughout the game. Riemann with a brilliant save at the beginning of the second half, which was vital because I'm not completely sure how that game would have played out if Würzburg, with that shot from open play, would have, leveled, and then that dominance from Bochum would have been a bit destroyed just from on the score sheet. But yeah, Würzburg wasn't good in that game. If you compare that to the HSV game, completely different team on the pitch, just mentally. And a deserved win for Bochum, made something happen that other opponents of Würzburg from those top five didn't really get to do. So yeah, very deserved win.
Yeah, we have mentioned how Würzburg have been able to take points away from some of the good teams like Düsseldorf, Hamburg, Hanover. But yeah, they didn't bring enough. I think they had that one chance from David Kopacz, which forced a very good save from Manuel Riemann. But that was, from memory anyway, that was it. They really didn't bring much. And a good response for Bochum, who, you know, really struggled last week against Auer, and you know, they were far more adventurous in the way going attack. They defended much better. They didn't really have much to do all game, and top of the table, only on goal difference, however, because the team that is tied with them is Holstein Kiel, who beat Erzgebirge Auer by 1-0. They were a little bit lucky, it has to be said. They did have more of the ball. They were more useful with the ball. However, Auer had a couple of goals taken away by the video assistant referee, and then on 81 minutes, Alexander Muhling, again from the penalty spot, after a pretty poor foul by Gjantic, gave Kiel all 3 points. Eva, it's kind of the way Kiel have been winning of recent. Sometimes it's not dominant. You know, they obviously have a bit of an eye on the cup, which at the time of recording this, which is a Wednesday night, my time, Wednesday morning in Germany, they have Essen, Rot-Weiss Essen from the Regionalliga coming up. Maybe there's a bit of a tension with that, but again, doing enough just to get the 3 points.
Yeah, I just don't know what to say about this game because it kind of is in some ways a copycat of other Kiel games we have seen this season, as you've mentioned, when it is that tight and they win, for example, from the spot. But they had a couple of chances, and it was very good in goal, just couldn't turn away the penalty in the end. But I do think it was a deserved win for Kiel because Auer did too less, in my opinion. Only had 2 shots on target. In the end, just not really... Well, I don't want to say not what we expected because we know how Auer is away from home. But just not enough going forward. And that's why against a side like Kiel, you always have to expect that they will find a way to score, even if it's from the penalty area or from the penalty spot. So, yeah, deserved win for Kiel for me.
Yeah, they definitely did the job. One thing that stood out to me as I've got the attacking zone statistics powered by AWS, sponsor us if you want to, 70% of Kiel attacks came from the left-hand side. That's the use of Mikhail Kirkuskov, who's the left-back, and Fabian Riese, who was playing left midfield. Kirkuskov, who's come in for Johannes Vandenberg, who's injured, has been really good. I've been very, very impressed with his introduction into the team. Came during the summer as one of the couple of signings they made, and as kind of insurance. But since he's taken over, he's been very, very impressive. Looks good going forward. Resolute defensively. Does the job. And I've been very impressed with what he does. Good on the ball, and yeah, has really fit into that back four under Oli Werner. Let's take our first break, and on the other side, we'll look at our Group 2 helpings, and we are going to start with a pretty good game to start off with: Hanover and Greuther Fürth. Greuther Fürth had the opportunity to make it three teams tied at the top of the table when they went to Hanover, match day 23. But they were given a relatively rude awakening as they had to come from behind twice to get a point against a relatively resolute Hanover side. And it was Genki Haraguchi opened the scoring just before half time, his fifth for the season. You know, he may not have the goal scoring numbers, but he has truly been one of Hanover's best players all season. And I will harp on it until he ends up playing in Royal Blue at the end of the, you know, at the start of next season. Harvard Nilsson continued his good goal scoring form. He got another goal in this one. And it certainly looked like Fürth were going to get a secondary goal. They had so many opportunities prior to Hanover taking the lead once again when Musa Dumbuya got his first goal in Hanover Cuddles. And from the amount of deflected shots that had come off the crossbar, Mikael Essa making save after save, eventually a deflected shot, Dixon Abiyama, his fourth of the season, and it was the point shared again. The scoreline doesn't really do justice to this game because Fürth were, in my opinion anyway, the better side. But it was just a couple of lapses individually that gave away the two goals. And yeah, they're probably a bit disappointed because it was a great opportunity to cement themselves ahead of Hamburg more than they are now.
Yeah, I will fully agree with you here. I mean, I don't want to be mean, but if you Hanover and of your 306 passes, only 199 are being successful. So you have a pass success of 65%. Although in January, it has to be said, pass success rate was really, really low for this match day at this stage. And in general, Fürth showed, in my opinion, at least clear dominance from possession-wise, but also just from the lookout. I mean, especially in the second half. And Hanover was only really waiting for them to make mistakes, and that's just not enough, even though nobody really knows where they want to go this season. But if you've been talking about, well, promotion isn't over for us and there's still a chance, don't go into a game like this. Honestly, we've seen this with those two games in a row where I'm really disappointed by the way Hannover played, the Düsseldorf game and now the Fürth game. Those are normally two teams they have to say, well, we're like on the same level just from what we can achieve this season, and you should show that on the pitch. They didn't do that, and yeah, although those especially that second goal is a bit unlucky, really like that first touch by Abiyama. It's not natural that such a young player has this kind of control over the ball, in my opinion, so that was really good by him. Although it gets deflected a bit, it's a good goal in my opinion, and they deserved the point in the end, although Fürth probably would have deserved the win as well.
Yeah, they were the better team and they created the better chances, but credit where credit is due with Hanover. They did fight very hard in the defensive third. You know, they flung themselves at any shot that was coming in, and yeah, they just did enough. On another day, they probably don't win that game. So kudos to them to get a point. It doesn't really change their predicament. They're still going to, at this stage, unless they go on a mega run, they'll probably remain in the Zweite Bundesliga for another season. But stranger things have happened in the Zweite Bundesliga. That is, we can guarantee. Let's move on to Heidenheim and Fortuna Düsseldorf. This had five goals written all over it, and it produced an unbelievably good game. Heidenheim having the lead twice, Düsseldorf coming back twice, and then Heidenheim putting the final nail in a Düsseldorf coffin. Kevin Sesser getting the goal, the opening goal of the game. Marcel Sobotka getting a pretty good one to equalize. Tim Kleinitz getting his first of two on 72 minutes. Christopher Pedersen with a good goal after a bit of a howler from Kevin Muller. And then Kleinitz again making it 3-2 and game, set, and match. We've spoken about Tim Klonitz's importance to Heidenheim since he's come back. He already has 6 goals in his short spell back at Frank Schmidt's side. It's a good win. It probably doesn't, this game doesn't have as much effect on the table, not for Heidenheim anyway. But good resolve, considering that they had leads twice in this game, gave them up, but then kept finding a way to get the extra goal.
Yeah, and I just don't want Tim Kleindienst to leave again. right now, as a neutral in the Zweite Liga at this stage, just love what he does. Something like a traditional striker, you could say, in my opinion. But just fun to watch, and fun to watch how he loves to be back in that team. I think you said that in one of the previous shows. Why did he even leave? Why did he bother to leave? And for Heidenheim, I mean, there was a chance for them, similar to Hannover, to, if they win most of their games until the end of the season, to be one of the teams that at least can, well, just think about the third place in the table. But was impressed by Heidenheim. I mean, they, my opinion, had the lesser chances, but most of them were created because, or especially the goals, because Fortuna Düsseldorf was horrible in defending, especially the first 2 goals. It's way too easy. Second goal for Kleindienst. First goal for Zessa before Cash Baumer has 4 players around him, but nobody really is acting towards him in any way. So, yeah, they kind of had that coming in that situation. But also, good work by Müller, although that mistake was looking very clumsy. Did think that it was impressive by Heidenheim, because we have seen games, for example, that St. Pauli game, where they managed to come back, but then they were the team that lost in the end anyway. So they kind of turned that around here, so that was quite good.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did mention Kevin Müller's mistake, but he made an unbelievable save on Thomas Pleidel before conceding that horrible second goal. What it means is, it's quite interesting, because if we did look at, we have a quick look at the table, we're going to talk about Karlsruhe in a moment. Heidenheim, 7 points adrift of third place Greuther Fürth. It's like, I think it's Dumber and Dumber with Jim Carrey. There's a chance with 11 games to go. Like, there is a chance they could do it. It's just unlikely. But if Tim Kleindienst just continues the tear he's on, maybe, you never know. Strange, as I said, strange things happen. And that, it was an incredible fight back, because it can be easy when you have a lead and the opponent finds a way back to go again, to have the repeat efforts. And they did that. And the third goal they scored was a testament of that, where Schimmer hits the crossbar. You know, there's the chase down to keep the ball in play. Ball comes in again, and Kleindienst finds the space, and, you know, beautiful header past Florian Carstenmeier. So, a big win for Heidenheim. So, it keeps their slim hopes alive. Dusseldorf, had they won, they would be only 4 points adrift of third place. So, a bit of a missed opportunity for them, but they were a bit unlucky. Let's make the journey to Sandhausen, a massive relegation 6-pointer when they hosted Osnabrück. Osnabrück, who had lost their last 8, desperate need for a good start, and they could not have started the game any worse when Adam Susac was given a straight red card 5 minutes into the game. Alexander Esfand steps up, he scores 1-0 Sandhausen, and then, you know, Sandhausen had control. 62 minutes in, Osnabrück give away another penalty. Kevin Behrn steps up. He makes it 2-0. Philip Klingman, who'd been on the pitch for 4 minutes, he scores in the 88th minute. And then Osnabrück, Moritz Niklas, who was making his Zweite Bundesliga debut, he concedes a penalty. Three penalties given in one game. However, he atoned for his penalty by saving the effort from Patrick Schmidt. 3-0 the final score. Sandhausen getting a vital win. It gets them out of the bottom two. But you cannot help but feel that they were aided by having to play 80-plus minutes with an extra man on the field.
Yeah, I think this is a game you don't want your first or your starting debut look like for Suchak. I mean, he comes in, first game from the beginning, goes down after a couple of minutes, just, yeah, takes away any kind of chance for Osnabrück in that situation. I mean, it's the ninth game for Osnabrück without any kind of points. We don't even talk about wins. We don't talk about points at all. And then you don't... This is not the situation where you say, well, we're going down to one man. To 10 men. Oh, God. Not to one man. We're going down to 10 men. I'm so sorry. Let's do this. And... of course, they have a new coach now. Markus Feldhoff is a former Osnabrück player, so he is close to the club. Osnabrück saying that he's the right man for the job. Of course, they have to say that. Gotta say, can't really say anything about it. He wasn't as a head coach in any kind. Yeah, really visible as an assistant, if I'm correct. So do not know. We have to wait and see until the first game. I think the most important job he has is at the moment is building up that team, getting him to win games as quickly as possible, especially after this kind of a six-pointer. So. Yeah, it's going to be, I say this every week, just put me on repeat for the awesome week sections. It's not getting easier for them.
No, it's not. And when you self-destruct in the way that they did on the weekend, I mean, it makes it even harder. You mentioned Feldhoff, who in his managerial career, say recently, he's been an assistant with Alexander Nuri at Bremen, Ingolstadt. He was an assistant under Klinsmann and then Nuri at Hertha. So this is his first opportunity as a head coach. So it's a massive chance, but he's got a massive task ahead of him just to build some sort of confidence going forward. I don't know. It's a risk, but, you know, they will come out golden if Osnabrück stay up. So... we will wait and see. Good win for Sandhausen. They needed it. They got results to go their way on the weekend. For the moment, they are in the playoff spot. Let's take our final break. And on the other side, we've got our final three games. And we're going to start with Darmstadt and Karlsruhe. Karlsruhe had a big opportunity on the weekend to get in touch with the top four, and a win would be a good way to do it. With Hamburg's defeat on Monday night, Karlsruhe had all the pressure off because on Sunday they got the job done. A 1-0 win against Darmstadt, and it was Kyung Rok Choi getting his fourth goal of the campaign. Darmstadt had a pretty solid start to the game. They had a number of good first half chances. Tobias Kemper looked very dangerous from set pieces, as per usual. But Marius Gersbeck was up to the challenge. He produced a stellar display and goal for KSC. And it was almost the difference in the end. But the goal by Choi was an excellent team move, rounded off by the South Korean getting goal number four, as mentioned. Eva, Karlsruhe, the team really holding on. They are only 3 points behind Hamburg, 4 points behind Greuther Fürth. If there was a smoky team that could really upset the apple cart, it really is Karlsruhe. A very good win in the end for them as they just hold on to Hamburg and co.
Yeah, but I will also say very unlucky defeat for Darmstadt because, as you've mentioned, Especially in that first half, they had a number of chances. They were the better team in the first half. Both sides had four shots on target out of 11 shots on goal. They both had good, the shots were quite varied from both sides and in outside the box. So both had the opportunities to score, had a good setup plan, a good game plan, match plan, whatever. But yeah, Darmstadt was just very unlucky, and Karlsruhe is such a good team in this season that they, if you give them or make it possible for them to score out of that position, they do that. And as you've mentioned, very good team effort for that goal. And Karlsruhe is one of my highest, in a positive way, surprising teams in this season, and good to see what has been developed in that region and for Karlsruhe this season.
Yeah, they've been very surprising. We've mentioned it throughout the season. You know, they've really come out of nowhere, but their signings have worked, all of them. And Christian Eichner has been quite underrated for his job at Karlsruhe, because when he came in, they were in all sorts. And he's really done a fantastic job in really progressing the way they play. They play good football. It did help that after the slow start that they really started to get it going. Philip Hoffman, who hasn't scored as much as he did last season, is playing an influential part. Even if he's not finding the back of the net, Choi has been very good for the last few weeks. You look at Gondorf being the heart of midfield. They've got a good mix of players who, may be very difficult to hold on to at the end of the season if certain clubs decide that they're going to poach from within, and it will be interesting. But they've really showed really good resolve and, just an all-round good team. And they find ways. They've got good players on the bench who can also play a role. And yeah, it's been fantastic to watch them to really grow. You do mention Darmstadt. I mean, they've had games where they've been terrible and they've deserved to lose. They were a bit unlucky in the end. But sometimes, if you find a keeper who is just on form, it is what it is. Football's cruel at times, and Marius Gersbeck was truly fantastic in this game. Let's move on. Jan Regensburg and Paderborn. Now, Regensburg were due to obviously play their cup game against Bremen. That's been postponed because a few of the Regensburg players, and I think Mirsad Salimbegovic as well, contracted COVID-19. But before that, they played Paderborn on Friday night. 1-0 was the final score. Sebastian Stolzer getting the one and only goal. But Eva, we should probably talk about Alexander Meyer, who turned out an extraordinarily good performance. As myself and a few others who listen to the podcast, part of the goalkeeping fraternity, we look out for our brothers and sisters. And let me tell you, Meyer, he was arguably the player of the match day. He was stellar for Regensburg.
Yeah, he definitely made Paderborn a bit angry at some stage, especially because, for me at least, Paderborn was the better team. They seemed more dangerous throughout that game, in my opinion. One player I want to point out here is Pröger, who was, or at least looked like he would maybe transfer to another team in winter. And you can see that he really wants that goal to happen, to bring him back on the pitch. I mean, he has been a very good player for them 2 years ago, if I remember correctly, not neutral in the Bundesliga, because he kind of transferred from a Regionalliga team to Paderborn, and then basically immediately into the Bundesliga, maybe a bit too early for them. Still think he's quite a good player. One last thing, because you've mentioned that that game tonight is postponed, yesterday was postponed against Bremen. Actually a bit more to this, because it's the first case, if I'm correct, in German football that we know of that's actually not COVID but the mutation from Great Britain, so B117, I don't know, or B117. And the problem is that we know, or at least scientists know, that it is more dangerous in a way that it spreads quicker and further. And the DFB says they want to keep the hygiene, whatever concept they have at the moment, which I don't think is actually that clever, because I know that a couple of Paderborn fans were a bit irritated that that game happened on Friday night, because although Sinan Begovic wasn't on the sidelines on Friday night, he had contact until Thursday. And, well, that's just a risk you shouldn't take if you know it's the mutation. We don't know as much about the mutation that we know about the virus. So I do think that the DFB needs to rethink that, but you have the feeling that they just want to get going with it because there are being concepts developed about fans returning to the stadium. But right now, you really have to look out that it doesn't spread. So if that happens again, I would recommend not letting the match day going forth as it did, because it's actually, we don't just talk about, well, then he catches COVID and he's fine. We have a couple of players in the Bundesliga and the Zweite Liga that still struggle with COVID. It's dangerous for your health. It's not just that you have a flu and after that everything is fine. It's actually dangerous for your health, especially everything happening to the lungs, to a professional a professional player in sports in general. So yeah, my opinion, I'm not a scientist, but do you think that the DFB needs to rethink that?
Yeah, and it should be mentioned, the number one, you know, priority should be this, the safety and well-being of the players and staff involved. And it was a pretty dangerous idea to maybe let the Regensburg-Paderborn game go ahead. It may have benefited from postponing it until further notice. It's ironic that they would postpone a cup game but not a league game in that situation. So, you know, fingers crossed for those who have got the mutation strain from Regensburg. Hope they're recovering well and stay safe. The last thing we want is it to spread and you know, more players and staff and people within catching the disease. It would be a real shame. Let's move on to our final game. This game really did not offer a lot. It was Nürnberg and Eintracht Braunschweig. It was 0-0. Where to start? There was a goal disallowed in this game early in the first half, but really neither team troubled either keeper. Matenia and Jasmin Fesic had pretty quiet outings. Nikola Dovedan was solid. He was at least trying to make something happen in a game either where really neither team was up for it.
Yeah, I did think that Nürnberg was a bit better, especially in the first half. Looked a bit more sharp, but Braunschweig had, I had the feeling in the second half, were trying to create any kind of, well, I mean, they did not have a single shot on target, but tried to create that through set pieces. All in all, it was probably the game we've expected beforehand from those two sides, which isn't helping any of them. But yeah, not a lot to say. Don't want to be mean, but yeah, that was this goal disallowed, which was correct. Nürnberg trying a bit harder still, in my opinion, but just not enough. which is probably saying more about that game than the score sheet.
Yeah, it was pretty grim from both sides, but you know, ultimately in the end, I think the way you've got to think about it is Nürnberg will take the point, no questions asked. You know, it gets them a point closer to avoiding relegation, even though they are still in quite a precarious situation. With Sandhausen winning, you know, it would have been a massive jump for them had they beaten Braunschweig. And maybe had that goal, you know, he'd been onside, it would have made a difference in the game. Maybe Braunschweig would have shown a bit more intent in open play. They did have the chance from Diakate, who headed over the bar, but truly neither side did enough to really indicate that they were going to get something out of it. So yeah, we will see. Both sides really need to start winning games, especially Braunschweig, who now return back to the bottom two. That's it for this edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. We thank you for once again listening to us talk about an unbelievably incredible league that continues to throw up surprises. And if there's one thing we've learned in our time doing the league, is that nothing is ever, ever certain. And it's great. It's just great to cover. It's amazing that we are always surprised that something different will come up on each match day. We'll be back again next week to discuss the action. Until then, stay safe, and we'll see you next time.